Namaste. Welcome. Today we begin month 9, where we will be diving into creating your practices. Thank you for being here today. We're really in the middle of 3 months that I see are kind of grouped together around time and around cultivating trust, really. We talked a little bit about this last month in terms of flow and how really having a routine or having structure helps us stay in that flow, get in that flow, feel it, helps us dig deeper into our own creativity. It also helps us deepen our own relationship with ourselves, with a capital S. So it allows us to deepen that ability to access our own wisdom in the moment. And it supports our ability to do our best work and to feel really good in it, to feel nurtured in it, and to not feel like we're scattershot or run over or drained or that our business is running up. So as I said, we're kind of in the middle of 3 months that are around the same type of subject. We talked about flow last month. We'll talk about creating practices this month. And next month, we'll take the practices a little bit further and talk about sticking to the practices, right, which we usually call like discipline, but in a way that's like ritualized, that feels like it's good and supportive and has a spiritual and a nurturance component to it. So we're headed that way. But we have to figure out kind of what are those practices that would really take care of us and our business. We have to make a choice or create those first. And when I started thinking about this, I thought, you know, we're really continuing with this idea of there being practices and a routine around that supports flow, and there's an interplay there. We're really continuing that interplay of passion and structure that we talked about in month 7 when we were talking about designing our model, right? And the model by which we work being the masculine structure, okay, that sets up the boundaries for our feminine creativity, our feminine passion, our feminine expression. Routine and flow work exactly the same way. The practices that we have for ourselves and within our business create kind of the banks. I know that Hiro Boga talks about this. I don't know if you're familiar with her work. She's great. She talks about the alchemy, like energy alchemy, and your spiritual relationship with your business as its own entity. But one of the things that I've heard her say over and over again, I think this is very true, is that the masculine, the structure, are the banks, okay, and the feminine, the creativity, the content of your business is the river. And the river needs some way to flow, needs some guidance to keep it in some kind of form and in existence in the world. So that's really what we're talking about when we talk about practices, are how are we going to create a routine that is doable, that's repeatable, so that we can create those banks to direct the river of our work. So why create practices at all? Spoke a little bit about that already. Practices are really the support, okay, that allow you to derive the benefit of your work. I really believe that it's in the practices, that repetition, that showing upness, that repeated kind of action in a way that's fully aligned with yourself, that allows you to start to really extract the benefit of your work. Allows it to be you to be in flow, practices allow you to stay connected to your higher self. And they also, at the same time, allow you to ground still in the realities of your business or the material world. So I also see practices as the place where that integration happens, the place where you practice, the word is intended, that integration of your spiritual self, of your own wisdom with the realities of your business. So practices are kind of where that integration really happens. And through that, you create sustainability in your business, sustainability for yourself and your own energy and your own well-being, and financial stability for your business, stability in the delivery of your work. So again, in my mind and in my experience, the practices are how we create that integration, where that integration and where that stability happens, so that we're not feeling like we're separate, right? We're not feeling like our spiritual connected selves and our material, you know, work and delivery selves are separated, but that both of them are integrated together for the purpose of, you know, carrying out our life's work. How do we do this? Well, the practices have to be doable, right? I mean, they can't be something that's like, oh yeah, we set this out, it's this ideal, and then we continually fail to do them for ourselves. That's not helpful in any way, shape, or form. And they're not there to allow yourself another tool to beat yourself up, okay, or another thing that you're not doing in your business. I think that we can be bombarded. I know. Actually, I've had this experience that we are bombarded by this information and advice about what to do in our business. And it can feel very overwhelming. First, we already know what's on our plate. And second of all, we're bombarded with messages of advice of, well, if you just did X, or you have to do X, Y, and Z, and this will just make your business sustainable. And we keep waiting for that time where we're going to get up over the hump of our to-do list into some level of sustainability. And so I propose to you that that is sooner than you think. And the method by which that happens is by choosing the few practices that are, one, doable to you, and two, of your own choosing. I think that of your own choosing is a big piece, because if you have the agency to affirmatively choose something for yourself as, you know what, this works, I can do this, this works, and it makes me feel good, and I like the results I get from it, you're going to stick with it. Whereas if it's imposed upon you as, this is what you should do, this is how marketing works, this is how you should take care of your finances, if it's imposed on you by somebody else saying, well, this is what works for me, or this is how business is done, one, you're going to have a standard you're comparing yourself to that you may or may not feel like you, quote, live up to. And two, you're much less likely to do it because you don't have anything invested in it. You haven't chosen it for yourself. There's no what my speaking coach would call buy-in. There's no buy-in by you as to that it even matters. So we want the practices to be of your own choosing. And this is why, again, I'll reiterate, when they're doable and when they're of your own choosing, this is where you start to see that it's the integration and the sustainability happens, that the practices are where you put your wisdom into action over an extended period of time. And it's from here, again, I think I said this, but that you experience results. What do I mean by results? Well, you know, greater joy in your business and in your work, less stress, more ease, more fulfillment, deepened creativity and expression, and increased revenue. I also would add, you know, increased ease or smooth sailing, right, in terms of how you work with less friction with how things get done in your business. I'm thinking specifically about client work delivery. Sometimes there can be friction around how those exchanges happen, and if there are practices that are done over and over and over again, that friction gets reduced, and therefore your business runs more smoothly, and therefore you have more ease, and you have less stress, and you end up feeling like you have more time, and you have more money. Now, the reality of having more time or more money, it may be an actuality. There may actually be more money in the bank account, and there may actually be more space for you to do other things. Or it may be a feeling. You may have this exactly the same amount of money coming into your business, but you have created such a feeling of ease and joy and expansiveness in doing your work and serving your clients that there's a feeling of greater abundance, even though the monetary number is exactly the same. And the same with time. You may have the same number of things on your schedule, but it may feel like things are more expansive. Both of those things are reality. In some instances, I would say that it does not matter whether it's quantifiably more or whether there's simply a feeling of more. Your experience is in many, many cases will be the same. And that's what matters. I also am underscoring the importance of practices because we do nothing once in our business. We don't market once and we're done. We don't engage a client once and we're done. We don't, you know, check our finances or manage our numbers once and we're done. We do it over and over and over again. And so it's you know, what we do, how we run our business, it must be replicable. And practices make things replicable. And when they're replicable, each time you go to do them, it becomes easier and easier because you're not searching for the tool that you need or the methodology or the way that you're going to do them. So how do you create, how am I proposing to create these doable, replicable practices that support sustainable revenue, that deepen creativity and connection to yourself, and that inevitably have you experience a greater sense of fulfillment? There's, I guess, four different factors that I've identified to help you do this. One, you have to meet your business on the ground. As I said, practices are where that integration of your connection with your higher self and the material demands, okay, the real world demands of your business, that's where they meet. That's where you practice integrating them. You practice bringing your wisdom into your business in that moment. So they have... the practices have to be your business where it is on the ground. And in order to do that, I identified what I'm calling six essential components, okay, to a fulfilling and sustainable business. So basically, these are six areas in which you can develop a practice, six different areas. So I'll name those now. The first practice area is spiritual and self-care practices. Okay, so you taking care of you and your connection with you, spiritual and self-care practices. Second essential practice area is creativity and strategy. I'm lumping those two together. Those are where you dig into the juice of your work, where you get the intuition, where you're creating, where you're strategizing, big picture about where you want to go. So creativity and strategy practices. The third essential area is money practices. We run a business. We have to know what our numbers look like and what they mean. So then when we have that knowledge, we can loop that back in when we're doing the creative and the strategy practices. Fourth, marketing practices. How do we get ourselves out there in a way that feels good, that sustainable for us. There's so many options. There's so many directives and advice on this. But I'm going to call it practices because I think that we need to decide which practices we're going to do. Which ones can we stick to that match up with who we are, the way we work, the way we express ourselves, and the way that our intended client receives messages. Where are they? Where do those two things match? That's the ground for a marketing practice. Fifth, client relation practices. How are we going to engage clients? How do we communicate with them? How and when do we deliver or create client work? These are about the deliverables, the exchange. And sixth, operations practices. So this is everything else that it takes to run our business. The maintenance, the administration, the system support. It may include a team meetings, but how does the business operate and how do we have our kind of eye or our finger on that? What are the practices we use to keep an eye on that? So again, spiritual and self-care practices, creativity and strategy practices, money practices, marketing practices, client relationship practices, and operation practices. So I propose that if you have chosen practices, even just one strong practice in each one of these six areas, that's six practices that you can start to build sustainability in. And I think that if you look at your business now, let's take a moment. Grab a piece of paper or your notebook or your journal and off the top of your head, think about, do I have a practice in any one of these areas? Do I have something that I do over and over and over and over again? And is that working? So if I were to direct you now to, okay, my spiritual and self-care practices, what does that look like right now? Just quickly off the top of your head. And is that working for me? How do I feel about it? Is it working? What else may I need, if anything? Now let's turn to creativity and strategy. When we think about, okay, and when I think about what I really have to give, what my plan is for my business, how I engage with big picture, with my own creativity and where I'm headed in my work, do I have any practices around that? How do I do that right now? Do I even do it consciously? Do I have a direction for my business? And how do I engage with that? And is that working for me? Is how I'm doing that working for me right now? How is it working? How is it not working? And the third set of practices, money practices. How am I engaging with the money that comes into my business right now? Do I have any practices for looking at my finances? If so, what are they off the top of my head? And is that working for me? How do I feel around it? Does it give me anxiety? Do I feel rigid? Do I avoid it? Do I love it? Do I have to do it before I do anything else in the morning or the week or the month? How often is that working? And I guess here I would also ask, what would I like to see? What else am I needing around this? Fourth set of practices, marketing practices. How am I marketing my work right now? Is that working? And by working, I mean, one, yes, do I feel like it's generating results? But two, is it working for me? Am I doing it? Or do I keep failing at doing it? What are the things that I do commit, do stick with, and what are the things that I don't? How is that working? What would I like to see? Or what am I feeling like I need around marketing? This area of practices, client relationship practices. This may be a little too broad to cover everything in the next couple seconds. But do I have any practices around how I work with my clients? Is there a routine? Do I have a structure for taking them in and engaging them? Do I have a structure for project management? Do I have a structure for delivery? How does that work? Is it organized and systematized enough for my taste to fully support me? Or do I feel like things are falling through the cracks? How is this work? How are these practices working for me in my business right now? How well are they working? What's not working? And the last and sixth area of practice, operations. So how do I attend to the operations of my business, the systems that help it go? Whether that be a marketing system, whether that be my team and communicating with them, whether that be my merchant account and processing, what is it that goes? What else that I haven't uncovered goes into the operation of my business? Do I have a practice for taking a look at that and engaging with those things? How well is that working? Okay, we'll just end that here. We took a few extra minutes and engaged a little bit in thinking about, just off the top of your head, each of these essential practice areas that support the sustainability of your business and really support you being fulfilled and not burnt out by your work. This, again, is how to have the practices meet your business on the ground. There are a few other factors now in thinking about if you came up with areas where either you feel like you don't have a practice, it's not replicable, or you're not happy with the way it's going, or you just feel like you could do it better. I have some suggestions about how to start thinking about creating new or revising practices so that they are more doable and more supportive of you. So the second thing that has to happen is that the practices have to be doable and chosen by you. I said that earlier, because I don't think the "this is what works" quote solutions actually work, or they don't work for everyone, and you have to have buy-in for your own commitment to your own practices and the way that they make you feel, the way they make you feel and the results that they get in your business. Because ultimately, if you experience those results, you'll say, oh, this is really great for me. I really like doing this. Okay, and I want to also underscore that there are no shoulds here. Okay, there are these six areas and a lot of flexibility in terms of how you address each one of them. And so if there are no shoulds, then that kind of leaves the field wide open, right? And we said one of the reasons for practices is to start to put limits and boundaries on our own creativity. So how do we even choose if the choice of practices is limitless? How do we help get ourselves into choosing what could be right for us? Two ways to look at this are choose practices, create practices that support your Dharma archetype. All right, that's the third consideration in creating your practices. And then the fourth consideration, choose practices that support your innate constitution. And what those two things are going to do is they're kind of, it's kind of built in when you look at it that way, that the practices are going to support who you are by nature and the work that you're meant to do. So let's get a little bit more specific about what that means. What would practices for your Dharma type even look like? And I'm not going to name specific practices. We can get into that in some questions. We can get into that on the Facebook forum. We can get into that in our small group. What I want to do today is talk about the considerations for developing the practices. Like, what should the practice help you do in order to further your Dharma or in order to balance and maintain your innate constitution, okay? What qualities of the practice should we be looking at? So it's a little bit different than saying, yeah, you know, a consistent blog is a great practice for X archetype. That's not what I'm getting into right now. We can start talking about that, as I said, in the different forums for exchange. Practices for your Dharma type, what I want to talk about now is, you know, the characteristics. What are they going to encourage you to do or engage in? So for the sustenance archetype, practices through which you care, nurture, and serve are going to really get you in your own zone of genius, because that is the purpose of your Dharma, to care, nurture, and serve. Sustenance archetypes would also really benefit from and love practices where you use your hands, so there's some kind of physicality. You're building something, you're coordinating something, you may even be painting, but that gets you engaged with your own manual dexterity, because again, that engages you with your own strength and with your soul's work. Sustenance archetype, engage in practices that stir your own emotion and stir in emotions of other, music, art, dance. And the last for the sustenance archetype is you understand and engage with money. Okay, you want to be engaging in practices that allow you to understand money, understand how your work earns, understanding the value of your work. So you can see by this example, just to give a broad strokes analysis of how I'm thinking about practices or offering practices in relationship to Dharma types, practices for each Dharma type should be a practice that encourages the strength, okay, or the purpose, the life and soul's purpose of your Dharma archetype. Okay, you should think about having a practice at least that encourages that in you. And then you should think about, how can I have a practice that encourages my growth of the direction that I'm headed in? So the sustenance archetype is learning from, okay, or growing into the strengths of the pleasure archetype. So sustenance archetype would say, how can I engage in a practice that encourages the strength of the pleasure archetype, the wisdom of the pleasure archetype? Okay, and so understanding and engaging in money would do that. But for each archetype, I would encourage you to think about, okay, what are practices that really engage me with my purpose? with my innate and my soul calling and my strengths? And what is it that I need to learn? What's a practice that engages me in that? So you can simplify it by looking at it from those two sides. To get more specific, we'll move on to the purpose archetypes. Purpose archetypes definitely want to have practices that focus your energy, that engage you physically and challenge you. Okay, because that you have great ability to focus your energy and use your body accordingly, like great physical precision. Okay, you also have a need to be challenged, a need for competition, and you want to satisfy your need for accomplishment. List making is a great practice for the purpose archetype. So that's an example of satisfying your need to accomplishment. You want to mark a goal and your attainment of the goal. You also, though, you want to cultivate wisdom. You are cultivating the strengths of the wisdom archetype to balance out your purpose orientation. So you would also want to cultivate a practice that you felt like engaged you in the acquisition and cultivation of wisdom. The pleasure archetype, practices that engage your senses. You want to feel, you want to sensuality, pleasure, entertainment, engage your senses with your practices. Practice gratitude. Do practices that evoke a sense of gratitude and satisfaction within you. Give, okay? Charity is the path of the pleasure archetype to counteract its direct relationship with the acquisition of wealth and money. And the last thing is you want to engage, of course, with money and storytelling and marketing directly and create an exchange. Practices that allow you to create an exchange are going to be great for the pleasure archetype. The wisdom archetype, practices that allow you to get still and that are solitary. You want to, wisdom archetype, give yourself enough time and space and solitude to be able to acquire information, the knowledge to cultivate and deepen your own wisdom, reading, whatever it is. Okay, you probably already know what those things are. and you also want to create practices, though, that focus your own energy. So again, the purpose archetype, you want to start to acquire their intelligence, start to play with their intelligence of what would it be, what do I need to do in order to focus my energy and use it directly, consciously and directly. Wisdom archetype, practices that allow you to cultivate detachment. We're going to be working on that later in the program for everyone, particularly important for the wisdom archetype and in its relationship to work and to money. And lastly, the freedom archetype, practices that allow you to engage, again, in your creativity, especially the ability to recombinate, integrate things, the practice of seeing what others do not. So similarly to the wisdom archetype, any practice that allows you solitude or a stepping back and from society and observing, things that cultivate your sense of being an explorer, a creator, or a visionary. Practices in taking, quote, responsibility. And I don't mean that in a harsh way. I mean practices that allow you to assess yourself clearly, to be truthful, and to stop any inclination to say that a problem, that you're a victim of something outside of yourself. Okay. I think that is it for the archetypes. again, I'm happy to take questions on that because I am not offering specific practice suggestions. I'm offering practices that engage you in this type of work or have these types of characteristics. Same thing for your innate constitution. Your practices should encourage the strengths of your innate constitution, okay, get you to really feel into them and engage with them, use them, and they should also balance out the negative attributes. So they should help, your practices should help keep you in balance with your innate constitution. Let's look at the three constitutions directly. Vata, the air constitution, the key to your balance and harmony is routine. So you are going to want to, I propose, Vata people, keep your routine simple. Okay, keep them totally doable. If you want to expand on them some days, go ahead. But keep the basic practices very simple, simple enough that you feel like you can pick them up and do them. And related to that, keep them enjoyable and flexible. So I not recommend for Vata constitution that you be rigid about the way that you engage with your practices. Allow yourself some level of creativity and flexibility in them. So let's give spiritual and self-care as an example. So if you are a Vata person, you may say, I am going to do my spiritual practice every day. But you might not name what that spiritual practice looks like. You might show up, right, every morning. You might roll out of bed or you might show up on your cushion or your yoga mat and say, what do I need today? How do I feel today? That's the kind of flexibility. So you commit to doing it, okay? You show up for doing it, but the content of it is flexible based on where you're at. That can be good for all constitutions. It's particularly, though, helpful for Vata because it means you're going to engage. If you have along a list of rigidity of this has to be done today and I have to do it this way, same way every day, you're going to press against that and you're constantly going to be feeling like you're failing instead of just continuing on with your practice in accordance to your innate nature. Your practices for Vata also want to accentuate your own clarity, your intuition, your adaptivity. So again, things that will allow you to focus your energy so that you have a good balance to your own flow, to your own flexibility, because you're all about change. So anything that allows you to create some kind of focus so that you can access your natural clarity, intuition, and adaptivity. And practices that minimize and transform fear, confusion, and spaciness. So just the fact of having a routine that is simple enough for you to show up with and actually do, that is going to really start to reduce fear, feelings of fear and anxiety and like physical symptoms of anxiety. And confusion. So to reiterate, Vata routine is key, but you want to keep that routine flexible and creative. Practices that accentuate clarity, intuition, and adaptivity, and that transform fear, confusion, or spaciness. Pitta. My fire people. Your key to balance and harmony is balance, right? Not too far in one direction or the other. Don't pull the rubber band too tight for too long. Your practices want to capitalize and accentuate your own ability for enthusiasm, your own innate vitality and discrimination. So your ability to challenge, to be enthusiastic, to be vital. You want practices that that cultivate in that you, that you're excited about, that you feel engaged with and have a certain level of intensity to them to excite that. You know, if you think about a physical practice, when we did the Pitta physical practice, there's a level of intensity to that there is not to the others. You can think about like a slight sweat and glistening, that's the level of intensity. So your processes are probably going to have a level of intensity that the other constitutions would not have. But you want to remember that your focus is periodic. So it's not a long duration, but you want to have some level of enough intensity that it actually fully engages you. And by doing this and not pulling too far, you will be minimizing or transforming any inclination toward anger, toward neglect, or toward criticism. So two ends, either anger, rage, or neglect, indifference. So those are the characteristics that you want to invoke in yourself, in your practices. So let me do kapha, and then I will ask a question, or I will come into a summary of this. My kapha, my earth people, your key to balance and harmony is stimulation. Okay, you want to build into your practice something that gets you stimulated so that it's not all about the same old, okay? Build that in. Your practices want to emphasize and really accentuate and cultivate your positive attributes of being, of nurturance, of consistency. It's not going to be hard for kapha people to be consistent about their practices, but what you might do is do one practice and just keep doing it. And 5 years later, you're doing exactly the same thing. And it may or may not still be working for you. So you do have you do want to capitalize on your ability for consistency, for your ability for devotion. Do your practices with love, with devotion, with self-care, and with nurturance. And practices to minimize and transform any inclination toward attachment, right? That's doing the same practices for 5 or 10 years. Depression or lack of communication. So practices that stimulate you or that encourage you to express and communicate would be great practices for kapha. So, in summary, the practices for your innate constitution, you most likely already have a sense of what these things are. You already know what types of practices, what types of activities engage your best and keep you from going out of balance, and which practices or activities in your business throw you out of balance immediately, get you stuck, get you scattered, get you angry or frustrated. You already have a sense of these things. You probably can name 3 of them off the top of your head, and if you can, go ahead right now and write them down for yourself. Because this is going to begin your list of possible practices. So, in closing, before we head into our month's meditation, I would say this. In order to create your practices, what I encourage you to do is think about, for each one of these 6 categories of practices, what is something I can do that will sustain or balance my innate constitution, that innately makes me feel like the best, my best attributes, okay, and furthers the purpose of my archetype. So for each of the 6 categories, what is a practice that feels like it engages the best of my constitution, makes me feel the most balanced and alive? And 2, furthers the innate purpose of my archetype, furthers my work. See where those two questions get you for each one of the categories. Now, different archetypes and constitutions may be heavy on some sets of practices and light on other sets of practices. So I'm suggesting that you, come up with some ideas for each of the six, because you do need something. If you don't already, I recommend that you have at least one easy, simple practice in each of the six categories of practices. But just know that you, because of who you are and because of the work that you do and because of how you have to be sustained and what goes into your own fulfillment, you might be heavy on some practices and light on other practices. And somebody else's set of practices will look completely different. So I'll give you an example. Some of it's hypothetical, but just I am going to conclude, I think it's a pretty safe conclusion, that my set of practices as a wisdom / freedom set of archetypes looks very different than a pleasure archetype set of practices, okay? My practices are pretty heavy on categories 1 and 2. Like, I have a bunch of spiritual and self-care practices. I have bunch of creativity and strategy practices. And really, for money and marketing, I've got like one, you know, just one or two. Very, very simple as possible for money and marketing and operations, because I have had to strip things down that far in order to get myself to do it consistently. I'll also say, whereas a pleasure archetype would probably have a substantial number of money practices, a substantial number of marketing practices, because that is where that they live and breathe that. I live and breathe creativity and spirituality and strategy. So that's where I spend my time in my practices. But I have to have practices in the other categories in order to sustain my business. But I've chosen them very strategically for where my business is right now. Now, as it grows, these might change, or some of them might get offloaded to a team member. But I'm just saying all of this so you don't feel like you have to have an even number in each, or that your practices have to look like anyone else. They just have to be doable, chosen by you, and sufficient to get the job done that needs to be done. I'm happy to share with you also any examples of what my, you know, simple practices, for example, for money or marketing or operations look like, or any of them look like, if you are curious or it would be helpful to you. The last thing I would say is that, you know, my marketing, and this is by way of permission, my marketing practices have changed substantially over time, primarily because it's been unsustainable for me. And so finally, I have had to look at them for both businesses and say, this is just not getting done. Like, I just have to be honest that this isn't getting done, and it's not going to. Like, I'm just not going to. Like, it's not a matter of being more disciplined or just sticking to it, or it's just not working. So I need to come up with something that will work, that's in line with how I'm working and how I'm expressing and how this is coming through me right now. So one of the key things I did just recently, and you may have seen the email, with marketing practices is, like, I keep wanting to write a blog, right? Like, I want to communicate with my list. I want to communicate with the audience. I have things to share that I'm really excited about sharing. But a blog never gets out. And it's not because it's not there, and it's not because it even doesn't get written down. But the pushing it out part in written form kept getting stalled. And this has been happening for like 2 years. So I couldn't deny it anymore. So I changed it. I said, well, how am I expressing myself right now? Well, primarily it's through talking. And that eliminates all the production and publishing pieces of a blog. So now I've gone to a podcast, and we'll see how that works. I'm excited about it. Meets how I am naturally inclined to do things. and, you know, creates the same kind of consistency and probably, I'm hoping, a higher level of engagement with community than a blog. So that's an example of really looking at something where, you know, I need the practice to be as simple and as doable and as attuned and aligned with me as possible, or it will not get done because I just don't prioritize it. And how I had to change things over time. So I'm telling you that by way of, one, get creative. It doesn't have to look like anybody else's. And two, I've given you permission to change if something's not working. So with that, I would like to introduce you to the meditation that we'll be doing this month, and then I will open it up for questions. So our practices will be slightly different this month since we are working on creating your practices. You can probably guess that I'm going to give you room and encourage you to choose your own practices for a good part of our practices this month according to what you need. So there will not be a mantra. You are welcome to choose any mantra from any other month that suits your need on any day. You do not have to choose any of them if that does not meet what you need on any day. Same with the asana. You are welcome to choose any asana practice from any month and do it according to what you feel like you need that day and what you think will most meet that need. Or you can do no asana practice any day. That's up to you. The meditation, I am going to lead you in a meditation. We will be continuing this meditation this month in month 9 and next month in month 10 with a slight variation to ritualize it. The meditation is really about bringing you into a space of deep listening and encouraging you to feel and, quote, listen to, you're not really listening to it with your ears, but feeling into your own spiritual energy, what it's telling you, what direction it's going in, and what it's teaching you. So it's really about using an energetic practice to deepen your own listening and your own trust in yourself. So you can see how these two things are paired. We're going to do a meditation about following your own energy, your own spiritual energy and intuition, and we're going to put that in practice by creating your own practices that best support you. So I did want to give you a container for starting to more deeply cultivate that trust in yourself. We started talking last month a bit about cultivating self-trust. So with that, I ask you to come into a comfortable seat, cross-legged on your cushion. If you're in a chair, place your feet flat on the floor. And take a nice deep breath in. And breathe out. Let's take two more deep breaths. Inhaling together. And exhaling. And take one more breath in, filling the lungs. And exhaling. Now continuing to breathe without manipulating the breath. Just breathing normally and naturally. And start to draw in your senses to your breath. See if you can turn from any focus toward the outside world toward an inner focus. Pulling your mind and your attention inside of your body. And focusing your attention on your breath. watching the flow of without changing the breath, just noticing it, noticing your inhales and exhales, not trying to change the breath at all. Just watching and observing your own breath. Noticing if there are any spaces after the exhale or the inhale. If any thoughts come into your mind, simply saying, not now. And letting the thoughts go. Continuing again and again to draw your attention back to the breath. Let go of any inclination to control the breath. Watch it. Involuntary breathing. Keeping you alive. Vital. Without any help from you. Draw your attention so much into the breath. You feel like you're falling into the breath. And now the breath breathes you. Draw all of your attention down now to the first chakra. And taking a breath in at the first chakra, exhaling, feeling Kundalini, your own spiritual energy, coiled at the base of the spine, uncurling three times, beginning her descent up the spine. Now taking a breath in with your focus in the second chakra. Feeling Kundalini clear the second chakra on the exhale. And then inhaling up to the third in a line of pure Shakti. You are present in the present moment. The third chakra spins golden, yellow. You are without agenda. And focusing on the third chakra, your own inner Shakti. Draw all your attention and begin to listen very, very deeply. And see if you can access that flow of energy pulling you toward one of the upper four chakras. Where does the energy want to go? Does it want to go to the heart, to the throat, the third eye, or maybe the crown? Your answer, your impulse is the right one. And follow that flow of energy up to that chakra, focusing all of your attention into that chakra, breathing in and out. And asking your own energy to lead you. Teach me. Listening deeply, being open to what there is to be taught. Soft breath. Balance and heal that chakra. And on your next breath in, rising or lowering, depending on where you are, to the third eye. And taking a soft breath, gathering your attention, focus, and energy now in the third eye. Breathing soft breath. And now moving 2 inches back from the third eye inside the skull to the center of the skull. My guru calls the skull cup. On an in-breath, gathering your energy there. And then exhaling, shooting the breath up and out the crown of the head, rising your attention with the breath way above the head, and soft breath above the head. Feeling a deep trust in your own wisdom, and in your deep connection with yourself. And then breathing that trust down back inside of the body, to the heart. And exhaling, allowing the breath to dissolve within you. And slowly opening your eyes. Namaste. Okay, thank you. We're a few minutes past the hour. Thanks for holding on. I will, if anyone has any questions, I'll open the line up now. I think you can just press *6 if you have any questions. Okay, I am going to see if I can alter this, just in case the commands are not working. Okay, we now have an open line, so if anyone does have a question, feel free to speak up. No, everybody's
hello.
Good. Hi, Meredith.
Oh, I didn't think you could hear me.
I can now. I had to change the settings, but I can hear
okay.
You great. Yeah.
Just a very basic question, which I've missed this or I've forgotten. Did we work out our archetype?
Yes.
Oh.
I can tell you when. It was month 5.
Oh. I went looking. I just couldn't find it. Thank you. I'll take another look.
Yeah, you can take another look. You told me that you were pretty well equally divided. And that was the first time you took the quiz. Then you told me that you were the freedom archetype.
Freedom.
Yeah. So go ahead, take it again, and see what happens.
Okay, terrific.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But the materials for the Dharma archetypes are in month 5.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything else?
No, I think that's it. This is very valuable. I'm going to go back through the practices. Thank
awesome.
You.
You're welcome.
I suspect I'll have more questions as I process this more.
Yeah, it's really something that you need to engage with. It's not like, I learned some new information, and now I have a question about the new information. Yeah. Okay, anything else? No? Well, thank you all for, Okay. So as things come up, if you would like to run practices by, or if you, whatever comes up, there's always the Facebook forum, and we will have our group call. Happy to provide any feedback or thoughts or support in either of those ways. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you.
Okay. Have a great weekend.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.